My name is Bernie. Well, really it's Bernard, but my friends, they call me Bernie. You see, I'm a shepherd, and I must admit that this is really a new experience for me. I'm not used to speaking in front of groups of people. You see, where I'm from, nobody really cares what a shepherd has to say. And in my neighborhood, a shepherd actually occupies one of the lowest rungs of society. People just don't trust us. They think that we can't tell the difference between what's mine and what's theirs. I guess it's true, you know. Some of these shepherds are crooks. Some of us are scoundrels. But most of us are God-fearing folks. I guess it's sort of like your politician. You know, some are crooks, so everyone gets labeled as being dishonest. The tax collectors have the same problem. Except they deserve it. You know, no one really wants to be around us. They think that we're perceived, I guess, as being not as good as everybody else. You know, because of our job, we're not able to observe some of the religious ceremonial cleansings that the religious elite observe. Well, and because of that, we're not able to maintain the sense of purity that the religious people, they insist on. And so we're not able to actually observe and participate in many of the religious opportunities. I mean, we're not pigs. This doesn't make us pigs. This is our job. This is just what we do. We're shepherds. We can't help that. And the truth is, most people think we're a little weird. I guess shepherds are a different breed of people. Well, okay, well, maybe we're a lot different. I mean, our best friends are sheep. But, you know, we love them. I mean, we're committed to protecting sheep. I mean, you have pets, you have animals, you know what I mean. They're so vulnerable. I mean, these things are such easy prey for wild animals. And they're a little stupid as well. I mean, you leave them alone for 1 second and they could wander off and get in trouble somewhere. And they need us. These sheep need us. Now, when I say that we're committed to protecting sheep, you have to understand what I mean. A good shepherd just won't risk his life for a sheep. A good shepherd will give his life for a sheep. Us shepherds take pride in what we do. My friends and I have very important responsibility. We manage the flock that is used for temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. Twice a day, once in the morning and once at night, a sheep without blemish is used in a temple sacrifice. These sheep have to come from somewhere, and that somewhere is my flock. It gets kind of crazy during Passover, sort of like on Thanksgiving, how our turkey farmers, I'm sure, have a lot of turkeys they go through. You know, it's important that we not only protect our sheep, but we have to keep our sheep in the best of shape. Because if we don't do our jobs, if we don't do what we're supposed to, other people won't be able to worship. We spend a lot of time alone as shepherds. And so we talk to the sheep a lot. We develop relationships. And I know what you're thinking. This guy's a little loopy. He's a little crazy. I mean, he's talking to sheep. But you have pets. I know you talk to your pets. I know you do. And what's funny is after we talk to them, after a while, they begin to recognize our voice. I could call one of my sheep by name, and they'll respond. What? You didn't realize that we name each one of our sheep? Of course we do. Now, you could call one of them by name, but they won't respond to you. They don't recognize your voice. But they'll recognize me. This is why I could put my flock into with several other flocks of sheep. And we could take turns, different shepherds, watching them that night. Because when the morning comes, all we have to do is just call our sheep, and they'll follow each shepherd in their own directions. It's a really neat and unique demonstration if you haven't seen it. Maybe I'll take you out back and show you later. Well, anyways, I'm getting carried away. The reason why I'm here, the night the Messiah was born, this is what many of us had done. We had gathered our sheep together, and we were taking turns watching them. Now, some shepherds were asleep at this time. Me and a few others were sitting by the fire, eating cheese and lentils and just telling stories about our sheep. And then something happened that I'll never forget. All of a sudden, there appeared this figure, And it was this bright and a unique, something like I've never seen before in my life. And instantly I knew that this was a messenger from God. And just as instantly, every one of us were petrified. We didn't have to say anything. We just knew it. I mean, I don't think we swallowed. I don't think any of us even breathed. We were scared to death. We knew that Scripture tells us that nobody can see God and live. And it was like, as we were standing there, the inside of us was just being, we were being turned from the inside out. I mean, we were all fully awake. We were all standing up, but none of us moved a muscle. And that's when the angel spoke. He said, don't be afraid. I come to bring you good news. News that will bring joy to everyone. For unto you, born this day, is the Messiah in Bethlehem, Christ the Lord. And you can find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, wait a minute here. I mean, do they know who they're talking to? Is this some heavenly message delivered to the wrong address? We're shepherds in a field. But just as the angel finished, there appeared this whole bunch of angels in the sky, and they were singing, they were shouting, said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And we just stood there with our eyes wide open. I mean, it was just incredible. I still don't think any of us had breathed at this point. It was just unbelievable. Yet at the same time, we all knew that it was really happening. We could have stood there memorized for hours. Yet at the same time, it was so intense that it was almost painful. And just as quickly as those angels appeared, they were gone, dispersed into the sky. We were standing there alone. No one looked at each other. No one said anything. We just stood there and felt this love, this warmth. We felt changed. It was silent for a while, and the first one to break the silence was Zacharias. He just said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And what followed, I guess, could best be described as a time of worship, praising God. I'm the one who spoke up next, and I said, well, let's go and see this baby. Let's go see this Messiah. I mean, I think that's what the angels wanted us to do. And so we left. We began to walk. Now, it didn't seem strange then. I mean, it was a natural thing to what just had happened. But looking back, we don't usually just leave our sheep unattended. I mean, usually we leave someone there to protect the sheep. But I think there's something inside of us, instinctively knowing that the God who had summoned us would be the same God to protect us, protect our sheep. I mean, it's not that strange. I mean, because when you meet God, time, your concerns, even yourself fades in the background. And all you can focus on, all you can think about is the glory of God and his majesty. All you can think about is him. And the natural response to those experiences is just obedience. I mean, for you who have the Holy Spirit inside of you, I mean, I'm sure this is a common thing, but for us shepherds, it was unique. I mean, if you knew God wanted you to go, wouldn't you go? Well, it was late at night, but we found that actually the manger was little problems at all. It was almost as if someone was just guiding us along the way, which I think is what was happening. And as we entered into the stable, we could just sense that the presence of God was in the place. And it was a dirty, old, raggedy stable, but it was like we entered into heaven itself. We were a little startled by Mary and Joseph. I mean, they were young, so ordinary, to be used, to have this predominant role in this extraordinary event. I mean, Mary was so tired. Joseph was just beaming. And baby Jesus, I mean, just finished nursing and was sleeping. I mean, in some sense, this baby seems so ordinary. I mean, the tiny eyes, the nose, the rosy cheeks, the little fingers. Yet at the same time, this baby, there's something extraordinary about him. You know, it's kind of hard to explain. It's almost like the moment you realize that the Savior isn't, Jesus isn't the Savior, but he's my Savior. It's one of those experiences that only God can bring to your life. I think we startled Mary and Joseph when we came in, just us raggedy shepherds walking through the door. But they sort of calmed down once they saw and relaxed once they saw the way we were looking at Jesus. And we asked them, we said, is this the Christ child? Is this the Christ? And again, they were sort of startled by the question, but you should have seen the smile that came to their face. And we told them about our experiences. We told them about the field and the angels, and they listened intently. And they asked details, and they asked questions, and so we told the story over and over and over. They didn't want us to stop. I don't know how long we were there. It felt like minutes, but I'm sure it must have been like hours. All I remember was that there was this reluctance to leave. I just didn't want to go. But as we returned to our sheep, on the way we stopped every person we saw and we told them about this baby. I mean, yes, us shy, uncultured shepherds were going up to complete strangers and telling them about our experiences. You should have seen some of the looks on some of their faces. They must have thought we were crazy. But their looks didn't stop us. No. We didn't stop telling, and we still haven't stopped telling. I mean, when you meet the Savior, you experience this great joy, and there's no way you can hold this joy within. I can't imagine anybody who wouldn't be transformed by what we saw. I mean, it was such good news, we had to tell. I mean, the long-awaited deliverer had come. We had a responsibility to share this. Some people laughed. Some people called us drunk. Some called us ignorant. That didn't stop us. Some people listened. Some people went to the stable too, and they looked, and they saw, and they were changed. We went to Jerusalem. And we told people there as well. Most people laughed at us. There was one man named Simeon. He was very curious, and he asked us a lot of questions. Invited us to his house. And told him, and we told him what we saw. Glory to God in the highest. You know, I think about that phrase a lot. I say it often, just as often. Glory to God. You know, the promise that God made Abraham thousands of years ago had been fulfilled. You know, many people have lost hope. Many people said this Messiah will never come. I'm guessing it's sort of like people nowadays as they refer to Christ's second returning. You know, I must admit, actually I'm ashamed to admit, that I had my doubts as well. Maybe I wasn't as fervent as I should have been. We are religious people. Sometimes we're just not obedient. You know, no one would have blamed God for just casting off his people and say, I'm going to start anew. No one would have blamed him, but he didn't do that. He kept his promise. He always keeps his promises. Glory to God. hundreds of times I ask myself, why me? Why a shepherd in a field? I mean, the Messiah should have been born in a palace. He should have been greeted by priests, by royalty, by religious leaders, people who are more familiar with the law. Why me? Why a shepherd? People who believe that he was a Messiah, they have all different sort of theories. Some say he came to us, the angels came to us first because Christ wanted the world to know that he was the great shepherd. Others people say that, well, the angels came to us because we would know how to get to the stables. Still, some people say that we were the only ones awake at the time. There's as many theories as there are people. But I still wonder, why me? Why did God choose to reach out and touch me in such a life-transforming way? I mean, I'm nobody exceptional. When people come across me, they don't really notice me. They just walk right past me. Yet God sought me out especially. I imagine that this is a question anybody asks who has come and met God. I mean, haven't you? Don't you wonder, don't you marvel at why God chose you? Don't you sit and think, how is it that your eyes are open but so many people are blinded? Why is it that we accepted and opened our eyes? Why is it? I guess it's just the mystery of his grace. But I saw my theories. I think God wanted the world to know from the very beginning that this Messiah is for all. This Messiah isn't just for, you know, the right, the religious, not just for the rich, or not just for the social elite, or even the social mainstream. But this Messiah is for everyone. The mother whose husband's walked out on her. The family whose no one likes because they're smelly and they're dirty and no one wants to be around them. The teenager that's made the stupidest and the dumbest decisions. The husband who's left his family in shambles. The factory worker, the Fortune 500 executive, the drug addict, the prostitute, the homeless, the lawyers, the tax collectors, yes, even a shepherd. For many people, there are many of you who are just written off as being insignificant and unworthy. But God sent us the message about this child whose life, whose death, and whose resurrection brings us all and makes us children of the King. For unto you is born a Savior. A Savior. Glory to God indeed.